Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Kamma, Daf Kuf Yud Ches, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amid Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amid. Says the Mishnah, continues to discuss a situation where somebody stole something from somebody else, a field from somebody else, and it teaches us Shot for Nor, if a river flooded and destroyed the field that was stolen. Aimalai, the Gazlan, could tell the owner, Hareshul Chalafanecha. And as the Mefarshim explained, continuing the sugyas that we've been learning, that even though in the previous shiur we learned that if somebody steals a field, and if it was at the Gazlan's fault that the field was taken away, the Gazlan is held responsible, teaches us this Mishnah that flooding, even if it was only the Gazlan's field that was flooded, cannot be attributed to the Gazlan, and therefore here the Gazlan may say Harei Shalcha Lefanecha. Before we begin the Gemara, we repeat a concept that we've discussed many times in our Shiurim. The Torah could sometimes explain a din, establish a din, by first saying a general rule and then saying a specific point, and then after that again making a general rule. And there are two ways how we could look at how we could understand such psukim that have very serious halachic ramifications. They could be understood as a ribui miyut ribui. A ribui miyut ribui means that first the Torah is being marbit, it's coming to include a lot of things, then it's a miyut, and it's coming to limit, and then ribui to be marba again. If that's the way to look at the psukim, then the miyut does not define the din, it just comes somewhat to limit the application of the din. On the other hand, if we look at the pasuk as there's another way of looking at the pasuk as a klal or prat or klal. In the situation of a klal or prat or klal, there we say that first the Torah again says a general rule, a klal, then the Torah says a prat, a specific rule, and then it's a klal. But in the situation of a klal or prat or klal, there we say that the prat is defining the klal. It's defining the rule. It has much more of an impact, and it limits the application of the rule to much more significantly. And therefore, with machlokes, as we're going to learn soon in the shiur, how to understand psukim and how to understand the application of the rules that the psukim are telling us. There is also machlokes rishonim. Most Rishonim say that this is a machlokes, a fundamental machlokes that it affects everywhere in halacha. That the man damer that learns ribui miyut ribui says that that's the preferred method of explaining such a pasuk, whereas the other man damer says that ribui miyut ribui is the preferred method of learning the pasukim. There is another opinion amongst the Rishonim that say that consistency is not necessarily required here. And even if in one situation this Manda Omer will follow the opinion of Ribui Miyut Ribui, doesn't mean that that's how he has to explain every such circumstance, and he could sometimes choose to learn Ribui Miyut Ribui, and sometimes he could have a Messiah to learn Klal Prat Klal. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanim, we learned in a Braisa, Hagoizel Sodom Chaveroi, if somebody steals a field from somebody else, or Shotfa Nahar, and then the river flooded it. Says the Chayv La'amid Lai Soda Acher, he has to replace that field, Divir Rebbe Lezer. That is the opinion of Rebbe Lezer. Obviously, according to Rebbe Lezer, fields are also subject to Gzela, and therefore, if something happens to the field that was stolen, the Gazlan must replace it. The Chacham, however, hold, one could say, HaReishel Cholofanecha, Karka and Nigzelis, and gives back the field as it is. says the Gemara, Maikam Efgi, what is the basis of their machloikus? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Lazar Torah should be miyutui. Rabbi Lazar learns the Torah in a ribui miyut form. And therefore the Torah says, V'chichesh b'misoi, which is a ribui, to come to teach us that all items are subject to Hilchus Gzeila. But Bikodin is a miyut. Bikolash Yishava Lov L'Sheker is Chaz of a ribui. So according to Belezer, we follow the ribui miyut ribui format and a ribui akol. It comes to teach us that everything is subject to Gzeila. My Rabbi, Rabbi Kamila, everything is subject to Gzeila, but the Torah did teach us a miyut. What does the miyut come to teach us? My miyut, what does it come to teach us? Specifically, miyut shtaris. Shtaris, given that they're the most dissimilar from everything that the Pasuk speaks about, because the shtar itself has no intrinsic value, and furthermore, the Rishonim explain, it's not the shtar that has any value. The shtar is just a document that indicates that one person owes another person money, and that debt is due even if the shtar is stolen or lost. And therefore, shtaris are at least similar to anything else. And therefore, if the Torah is coming to exclude something from Geneva, it's coming to exclude shtaris. That's the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. But karka, according to Rabbi Lazar, is subject to gzela. According to him, karka is nigzelis. However, Rabbanan, they explain this pasuk darshi klala prat as a klala prat situation, and therefore they explain the pasuk v'kichesh is klal, v'kodin is a prat, I'm a klal v'kol chaz v'klal. And therefore we have here a situation of a klal prat to klal. Yet to don elokein a prat, we say that the prat comes to define what does the rule apply to and what does the rule not apply to. And if we look at all of the characteristics of what the Torah speaks about, it's ma'am a prat dova matatl v'gufa mamin, it's referring to movable items that have intrinsic value. Af kol dova matatl v'gufa mamin, anything that is movable and has intrinsic value, yotzuk akos, which would come to exclude property, shem matatlin, obviously not movable, yotza avodim, shukshul kakos, avodim are treated like karka. And as a machloikus rishonim, how to understand what the Gemara means when it says avodim hukshul kakos. Some rishonim explain that throughout halacha we have a concept that avodim hukshul kakos, that we treat avodim in the same way that we treat kakos. That's one opinion that mefarshim suggest. Other mefarshim say it's not specifically a halachic similarity, it's a characteristic. They're similar because if somebody steals someone else's slave, wherever that slave is, the slave still belongs to the owner. And just like the karka, wherever the reason karka is ain't exalus, because somebody could try to take away someone else's property, but it's still really wherever the really belongs to the first owner. Also, Yotze Shtaris, the Rabbanan will agree that documents are excluded from Hilchus Gzeila, because Abish Metatlin, even though they are movable, however, Enguf and Mammon, they don't have, as we said, intrinsic value. There is a Machloikus Rishonim, that when we say that Karka ain't an Exelus, according to the opinion of Rabbanan, what does that mean? Does that mean that there is Bechlal, in general, no Isser Gzeila involved when one steals property? It's one opinion that some Rishonim hold. Simple. That's what the Gemara is saying, Karka and Exelus. Or another opinion that the Rishonim want to suggest is that the halachas of Ashava, of returning what was stolen, the various many details that we have been learning in our Masechta that apply to when somebody steals something, doesn't apply by Karka. But certainly, no one is permitted to steal anything, including Karka. And if one does steal karka, he certainly will be over leisigza. Ask the Gemara for the Tanya. It says in a brisa, "Hal goizel sapara," if somebody steals a cow. the shatvanar, and it was swept away by a flood, chayv lahamid loy para. He has to replace it with another cow. Divrei Rav Elazar. The Chum say, by a cow also, oimaloi hareshel chalafanecha. You could say, here's the cow. Now, here we're not talking about karka. Yet, they're arguing. Ask the Gemara, hosu emaikim efki. What is the machloikas by the cow? Answers the Gemara, Amra Papa, hosu emaiskinen. What is the situation that's being referred to in this braisa? Kigoyin shigozel sodom chaveri. Somebody stole a field from someone else. For hoisa para revutsuba. And there was a cow lying on that field. Veshat v'nor. And now a flood came and swept away the cow. Now we know one of the types of kinyonim is called kinyon agav. That if I own property, agav the property I own, I could buy movables that are on the property. Rebbe Lezer, who follows his opinion that says karka nigzelis. So when somebody stole a field, it becomes the property of the gazlan. And since it becomes the property of the gazlan, so now kinyon agav is applicable, and therefore the pora laying on the field will become the gazlan and become the gazlan's responsibility if something were to happen to it. Rabbanan, on the other hand, alatamayu, they hold, as we just learned, the karka ain't an exelis, and therefore if the karka doesn't become the gazlan's, neither does the animal lying on the karka become the gazlan's with a kinyan agaf. And the choice in learning this Gemara makes a number of halachic observations on kinyan agav. Firstly, the Tzais makes a point. He says, our Gemara is referring to kinyan agav, not regarding to kinyan chotzer. Certainly, a field that somebody steals, even if we follow the opinion of Belezer, the karka nigzelis, such a field cannot affect the kinyan chotzer. It only can affect a kinyan agav. Furthermore, says the Tzais, although the Gemara says that a kinyan agav can be effective even if the item, the metaplin I want to buy, is not actually on the field that we're using for the kinyan agav, and yet kinyan agav is effective, says the Tzais, that's only in a regular situation where we have a seller and a buyer. But in our case, where it's a gazela, the only time kinyan agav can be effective is if the item I want to buy with a kinyan agav is physically on that field. Furthermore, says the Tzais, from here we see that unlike kinyan chotzer, which we just described, requires das acheres makna, a seller and a buyer, here, says the Tzais, for kinyan agav to be effective, we don't need a seller's consent, and yet kinyan agav would be effective. However, the Mefarshim do ask a question that kinyan agav is a takaran de rabbanon that it should be effective. So, would the rabbanon establish a kinyan to be effective in a situation of gzela that we say that we can rely on kinyan agav here? So, the simple teretz that the Achronim suggest is once Chazal established that there's something which is an effective means of a kinyan, they don't start differentiating where it is effective and where it's not effective. The Dvar Avram, along the sign line, says that the gazlan, in our case, if we hold karka nigzelis, is responsible. He is the gazlan. And on the contrary, we want him to be fully responsible, and that's why we make the kinyan be an effective kinyan in order that he should have to live up to all of his responsibilities. Says the Mishnah, Hagoizel is chaveroi. If somebody steals from somebody else, Oisha hilvimimena, or he borrowed, Oisha hifkadaloi, or something was deposited with him, beyishuv, and all of this was done in a place, it was done in the city, he's not allowed to return what he owes in the midbar. Because, obviously, it's impossible for the person who's getting his item back to properly watch it in the midbar. And the Meiri goes on to say, that were he to return it in the Midbar, even though he returned it, he still remains responsible. Furthermore, the Paiskim make a number of points. One, the Shulchan Aruch says that even though we're saying that if you borrowed or held something for somebody else in the city, you can't return it in the Midbar, but that doesn't mean you can't give it back in another city. You can't give it back in the Midbar, but to give it in a different city, as long as it's a city, would be acceptable. The Rishonim also say that let's say it was borrowed or taken to be held in the city, and it's being returned in the city. However, in the time that it's being returned, it's a time of unrest in the city. So it's still the same city, but it's a very different atmosphere because of the unrest. That's the same as Midbar v'Yishuv. And just like our Mishnah explicitly says that you can't return in the Midbar something that was taken in the Yishuv, similarly would be the halacha that you can't return at a time where there's unrest in a time than when there's rest. There is an interesting opinion of the Torah that many Rishonim dispute, that say that even though our Mishnah is saying that you can't return it in the Midbar, that's if it's just you and the person whom you're returning the item to in the Midbar. But let's say there'll be a whole group in the Midbar, then the Midbar will have the same din as the Yishuv. That's the opinion of the Torah. As I said, the Meiri and many Rishonim disagree with the Torah. One more point that the Rishonim make is what happens if somebody borrowed something or is holding something in the Yishuv. Our Mishnah and our Gemara teach us that you can't give it back in the Midbar, but this person wants to travel away. What should he do? Say the Rishonim, what the person should do is go to Beis Din and leave the money or the item that he's watching in Beis Din, and that will be acceptable. Continues the Mishnah. However, if when the person accepted the money or deposit, he said, "I'm not slotzeis from Midbar," that he's going out to the Midbar, there Allah is yachseloi the Midbar, then he may return it in the Midbar. And again, the Mefarshim explain what is the connection of our Mishnayis, because it's this point that just like in the previous Mishnah we learned that under certain circumstances one could say Harei Shalchala Fanecha, so too does our Mishnah in this din teach us that one could say Harei Shalchala Fanecha, I'm giving it to you under these circumstances. Ask the Gemara V'rimini, well, we learned in a Braisa Malva Mishtam Lemelos become Mokoyim, a loan can be repaid anywhere. Avedu Bekodin Ein Mishtamim Elbim Kaimam. It's only an Aveda and Bekodin that can't be returned. Aveda could only be returned in their place. But here it says that a loan could be returned anywhere. Yet our Mishnah says differently. So the Pnei Yeshua wants to try to understand, at least here in the Havamina, that the Gemara is differentiating between a milva, which can be returned anywhere, versus aved and bikadon, which elm kaimam. What is the difference? One pshat is that by a milva, the loiva says, "I lent money from you," went on the understanding that I'm only going to hold on to the money as long as I need it, and as soon as I don't need it, I'm giving it back. And that's what happened here, that he has the opportunity to give it back. And the Gemara at this point thinks he should be able to give it back in any place. Another pshat is a pikadon shouldn't have been taken to the Midbar. If somebody gives me something to watch, he doesn't want me to take it to the Midbar. So I really had no right to take it to the Midbar, and certainly, therefore, have no right to demand that the owner take it back from me in the Midbar. Money, when somebody borrows money, it's understood that the person is going to take the money wherever he goes, wherever he'll need the money. And if he's going to the Midbar and he needs the money in the Midbar, he's going to return it in the Midbar. And that's why the Gemara at this point asks a question. This price seems to say that a milva can be returned anywhere, whereas our Mishnah says that it has to be returned in the Yishuv. Amar Abaya, and it says Abaya Hochi Kama. This is the way to understand our Mishnah. Milva nitna litava become makayim. Payment for a loan could be demanded anywhere, even in the midbar. But point out, says the Shulchan Aruch, the loiva would only have to give back the money in the midbar if he has enough money to get back home. But if he doesn't have enough money to get back home, even if the malva is demanding back his money and he does have some money on him, he doesn't have to return it. However, could only be collected in their place. Is the lender, the person who gave it, can't even demand that it be returned in the midbar. And as Mefarshim explained, of course they can't demand it be returned in midbar, especially if the shomer doesn't have that item in the midbar. So explain to Mefarshim what the Gemara means is that I'm watching someone's item, and now we both find each other together in the midbar, and he's demanding back the item. So certainly I don't have the item with me, and certainly no one could suggest that I should be responsible to have to go back home to bring the item to the person. What the Gemara means is, but I have money on me. Can he say, give me money that you're holding instead of the item? And the answer is, I'm not obligated to do that. However, said the Mishnah, if when this took place, it was said, Amanas Lotzeis B'Midbar, that we're going to the Midbar, then the halach is that he could pay back in the Midbar. Ask the Gemara, pshita, it's obvious. If that were the stipulations of the deal, that's acceptable. Answers the Gemara, Leitzricha, Damle is referring to a situation where the person left something by me, and he said, Lahavi Haipakotin Gaboch, that Nala Midbar Nefekna. He asked me, you can hold on to this because I'm going out to the midbar. Vamlay Ihu, and the Shomer responds, and you know what? Anola midbar nami bina lamepik. I'm also going out to the midbar. Ibina ladrinalo chosam madrinalo. As we Shomer explained, what the Gemara means to say is as follows: one would think that this was just conversation, and when somebody made me a Shomer and tells me that he's going out to the midbar, and I respond, I will be a Shomer, but I'm also going to the midbar. I meant to say it was just a story. I just meant to say, you know, I'm also going to the midbar. But I didn't mean to say that I should have the right to return the item in the midbar. Teaches us the Gemara, the Mishnah, that no, what it means to say is that I meant to say that I have the right to return it in the midbar. Says the Mishnah, if somebody says to somebody else, I stole from you, Hilvisani, or you lent me money, or you deposited something with me, and he responds, I don't know if I did or didn't return the item. And as Chayav L'Shalom, he's obligated to pay. And as the Melach HaShloima explains, the Mishnah is coming to be understood, Loizu Avsu. First he teaches us the din of Gzela, that not only by Gzela do I have to return it, but even by Halva, where I didn't do anything wrong, do I have to return it? And even by Pekodin, where I actually did the person a favor that I was watching his item, still the halacha remains in all these situations that Chayiv L'Shali. Avlam Amaloi, any idea in Gzaticha? I'm not aware that I stole from you. Imavasini, that I borrowed from you. Imavkadetetzli, that I was watching something of yours. Then in that situation, and the halacha would be patel shalom, he doesn't have to pay. Says the Gemara, Itmar, money libi yotcha. If somebody says to somebody else, you owe me $100, v'allah amani yedeya, and the other person says, I don't know. So if Hun Rav Yehuda Amr Chayiv, he has to pay up. And Reach Rav Yehuda Amr Pate, he doesn't have to pay. Rav Hun Rav Yehuda Amr Chayiv, because the halacha is bar v'shem bari adif. Since the other person is certain that I owe the money, and I have a question, the halach is bari v'shema, bari adif. And as the Rishonim explain, the Mefarshim explain, why is bari v'shema, bari adif? The Pnei Yeshua says that people are honest. People are basically honest. So if somebody comes and makes a definite claim against me that I owe him money, he must be saying the truth and I have to pay. The Shari Yosher looks at it just the opposite way. Shema, an inconclusive response, is not considered a response. And therefore, somebody came to me with a claim, and I wasn't able to positively deny, so it means I didn't answer, and therefore I'm responsible. The Rishonim, however, do point out that even though our Gemara is teaching us, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda are teaching us that the halach is bari b'shema, bari edif, that's only by a strong bari and a regular shema. But sometimes you'll have a weak bari and a strong shema. There, the halach will not be the same. For example, where somebody comes with a loiva died and the malva claims that he was never paid. The bari of the toiveya is a weak bari because he knows that the person he's confronting really doesn't have first-hand knowledge of what happened. Furthermore, the shema of the yorshim is a strong shema, because if I owed money, it's obviously, as we're going to learn, my responsibility to know, did I or didn't I pay up? But here, it's the Yarshim. They're not responsible to know if their father paid up. And therefore, even if we'll follow the opinion, a Bari Vishem, a Bari Adif, here we wouldn't, even they would agree that we don't say in such a situation, Bari Vishem, Bari Adif. Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, even in such a situation, Potter, he doesn't have to pay, because Ukam and money b'cheskes mari. We leave the money where it is. Hamaitz mechaver olav araya, unless he could bring conclusive proof that he owes the money, he doesn't have to pay it. Although Rashi says that even though he won't have to pay, he will have to make a shvua to say that he doesn't owe the money. Ask the Gemara Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Avla Mamaloi, if the person said to him, Eini Yodeim Helisani, I don't know if you lent me money, Potter. So Hechidami, that was the Sefer of the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara Hechidami, what exactly is the situation of the Sefer of the Mishnah? Ilem Deloi Ketavale, if it's referring to a situation where nobody's claiming any money, so Reish Namiloi Ketavale, then we'll have to say that the Reish and the Sefer, which are probably speaking about the same case, is also referring to a situation where nobody's making a definite demand for the money. So if nobody's making a definite demand for the money in the Reisha, why does the Reisha say in my Chayiv? Why does the Reisha say that he's obligated to pay? Ella, the way we have to understand the Mishnah is the Ketavale, that a definite claim is being made. And yet, the Tani Sefer, that a definite claim is being made, and if we follow the concept a bari v'shem bari odav, then the claim should have to be respected, and yet the Mishnah says patam l'shalom. Answers the Gemara loylam the loy ketavalei. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where there is no definite claim being made. The Reisha is referring to a situation b'bal etzis de shemayim where he's not obligated to pay because there is no definite claim being made, but he wants to be Yoytze de Shemayim, go the extra mile. Itra Nami, Amrav Chiver Abba Amrav Yoichran, money libi yotcha, somebody says you owe me money, Vala Oimer Eni Yedea, Chayef. Why? Because it's referring to a situation, but Balotze de Shemayim, he wants to go with Nim Meshuras Hadin. The Mepharshim point out that sometimes the Gemara uses the words Chayef Medina Shemayim, and sometimes as our Gemara, the Gemara uses the word Baal Lotzis Adei Shemayim. What is the difference? This really goes back to a concept that we've discussed a number of times in the Masechta. When the Gemara uses the words like by Groma ben Azokim, Chayi Medina Shemayim, it means that he's really financially obligated to pay. Just Bezdin can't force him, but he has a full-fledged financial obligation. We're asked where the Gemara, such as our Gemara, uses the words of Baal Lotz Dei Shemayim, not only does Bezdin not force him to pay, but furthermore, Baal Lotz Dei Shemayim means that he really has no obligation at all to pay, only if he on his own wants to be Lefnim Meshuras Hadin and pay, does he pay. Says the Mishnah, Hagoyin of Tala Ben Eder, if somebody stole something from a flock, and he returns it without notifying the owner, or meis or nignav, and now it died or was stolen. So the halacha is chayiv bechriyusoi. The thief is still the thief is responsible for what happens for, as soon as he stole it. If the owner are not aware of him stealing it, nor of him returning it, so he stole it, and now when they look for their, they count their sheep, they find that they have the right number of sheep. They find that they have the right number of sheep. The halach is potter, the ganef is no longer responsible if he gave it back under such circumstances, even if the owner was not aware that he returned it. And the Gemara is going to go into great length to explain what are the dinim, what are the points, what are the dinim, and what are the circumstances that we are discussing. Amar Rav, says the Gemara, Ladas, if something was stolen with knowledge from the victim, Tzorach Das, to return it, he has to know that it was returned. Shloi Ladas, but if it was taken without the knowledge of the owner, Minyan Poiter, as soon as you return it, and he becomes aware by counting what he has that it was returned, that would be enough to be considered that it was returned. So when our Mishnah speaks about a case that the owner counted what he had and he sees that he has the right number, it's considered returned. When is that referring to? It's referring to the Sefer. It's referring to the case where the owner was not aware of the theft. In a case where the owner was not aware of the theft, there the halach is just putting it back is enough. And as a machlokes rishonim in trying to understand why and where, what's pshat. Rashi seems to learn that in a case where the ganef, where the victim was not really aware of the geneva, so it's not that much of an act of a geneva. And since it's not such a serious act of geneva, the hashava doesn't have to be such a serious hashava. And just returning it will be adequate. That's Rashi's opinion. The Rashba seems to learn that if somebody knows that I stole something from him, so in order for me to be absolved, I have to officially, so to speak, return it to him. And by officially returning it to him, it takes any chshad, any issue away between the two of us. But if I don't officially notify him, that chshad that exists because I stole from him continues to exist, and therefore the halacha is that it's not adequate. That's Rav's opinion. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says different. Ben Ladas, Ben Shloi Ladas, whether the owner was aware or not aware that it was stolen, Minyan Paiter. Giving it back, and he knows by counting that it was returned, is adequate. So when the Mishnah says that if the owner counts and he sees that he has the whole count of sheep, that's fine. Akula, it's talking whether the owner was or wasn't aware that it was stolen. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ladas, if the owner was aware that it was stolen, then Minyan Paiter, Shloi Ladas, but if he wasn't aware, then I feel a Minyan Loi Tzarach. You don't even need to have a Minyan. Giving it back, that's enough. So when the Mishnah at the end says "Umanas atzoyin fi shleima," that's enough. It's referring to the Reisha. That's where minyan is required. Where he's not aware of the geneva, even a minyan is not required. Rav Chizdamer, a fourth opinion, Ladas, if it was stolen with the owner's awareness, then minyan poiter, just that he should know that it was given back, is enough. Shloi Ladas, but if he wasn't aware of the geneva, there, Tzorach Das. V'chik Tani. And therefore, when the Mishnah, the Sefer says, Umanus Atzoyim V'Hishleima, that just Minyan is enough, it's only going to the case of the Reisha where the victim was aware that it was stolen. Amar Rava asks Rava, my Tamder of Chizdom. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is, it doesn't seem to make sense that we should be more lenient in a situation of Das where the victim was aware of the geneva than to be stringent in a situation where the victim wasn't aware that it was stolen. Answers the Gemara, this animal that was stolen got accustomed to leaving its owner's possession. So if the owner was aware that it was stolen, so he knows that he has to watch this animal better, because this animal might have developed a bad habit. But here, since the owner was never aware that it was stolen, he doesn't know to watch this animal differently. And therefore, das is required. Point out to Rishonim, if such is the case, this din of Rav Chisda would be applicable only by animals, where we have to be concerned to a habit it might have formed. But let's say with an inanimate object was stolen, then this din wouldn't apply. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rav Hachi. The Gemara is assuming that if Rava is explaining the opinion of Rav Chisda, and Rava was a Talmud of Rav Chisda, it must be that Rava followed the opinion of Rav Chisda. Ask the Gemara, does Rava indeed hold this way? From Rava, Hayman the Chazil Chaveri, the Agve Amrim Ejidei. If somebody saw somebody else steal a sheep from his flock with the intention to steal it, V'ran by Kala, and he raises his voice at the thief, V'shajay, and the thief throws it back, V'lo yodi hadrei lo hadrei, and the owner is not aware whether it did he or didn't to return the animal, or mesed nignaf, and then the animal dies or was stolen, chay b'chuyutsoy, the ganav is still responsible. My love isn't referring to situation, I've got the money, that he did count, and does know that he has the full count of animals. And even though he knows that he has the full count of animals, the ganef is still responsible. Here's the situation of das, and according to Rav Chisda, das, all you need, if there was a ganeva b'das, all you need is minyan. So the ma'aloi, it's talking about a situation of the loy money where he didn't count, and therefore, even if it was a ganeva b'das, it would not be considered returned, and the ganef would still be responsible. Ask the Gemara, Rav Hochi. Rav said that if the owner was aware, then he has to be told. And if he wasn't aware, minyan is enough. From Rav, Hechzira le'edush b'midbar, if the ganef returned it to the owner's flock, which is in the desert, yotza, and he doesn't have to have neither notification nor counting. Answers the Gemara, on Rav Chana bar Abba. Rav agrees that in the case of a spotted animal that it has distinguishing mark, then neither notification or counting are required, because as soon as it's returned and it's unique and different, it's obvious that it was returned. Says the Gemara, we had a four-way machloikis amaroyim on what is the din, when and where you have to notify the owner of what you've done. And the Gemara wants to suggest that that machloikas amaroyim is actually a machloikas tanoim. Lem ktanoi. Hagonif telem an eder, if somebody steals a sheep from a flock, or sell him in a kiss, or sell it from a purse, mamakam shaganov yachser. All he has to do is return it to where he took it from. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kivaimer, tzorach das balam. You have to notify the owner. Says the Gemara, Savrua, they assumed that the Kula Amma is with Rabbi Yitzchak, that everybody agrees with Rabbi Yitzchak's principle. Dom Rabbi Yitzchak, Adam also lemasters bekisa b'kol shah. A person is always counting his money. And therefore, if somebody's money was stolen, he's immediately aware that his money was stolen. And even so, my life, b'sel ladas, the Bryce is referring to a situation that the money was stolen with the owner's awareness, or with Plukta, and the Machloikis of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is actually the same as the Machloikis of Rav and Shmuel. The Rabbi Shmuel follows the opinion of Shmuel that as soon as it's returned, even if the owner was aware of the Geneva, that is enough. You don't have to notify him. And Rabbi Kiva will hold like Rav, that you have to notify him. Says the Gemara, Loi, but it's talking about betele obdas, and furthermore, says the Gemara, take out the word loi, betele, we'll say, is referring to the situation of shloi ladas, where the land was stolen without the owner's notification, and as the Rishonim explained, Taisa says, it's more likely that a person should be aware of the geneva of his money, given we have Rabbi Yitzchak's concept that people know what's going on in the pocket all the time, and he should not know about the geneva of his animal. And there the machlokes will be the machlokes of Rabbi Chisda and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva will have the same machlokes of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Shmuel will hold that in a situation where we're shloi ladas, without the owner's awareness, it's enough just to return it from where it was stolen. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, will hold that when something was stolen without the awareness of the owner, like Rav Chisda says, you have to let the owner know when you return it. Amar Zvid Mishmei de Rava. This second part, we don't agree. Because in the case of Goyna Mishus Balim, if somebody steals something from the owner without the owner's awareness, Kulam L'Aplikik Rav Chisda. Everybody will agree with Rav Chisda's opinion that you have to make him aware because the animal might have, as we said earlier, formed bad habits. For Hachar, here we're referring to a situation, where Shomer stole something, and now he wants to do tshuva. He stole the item that he was given to watch, and now he wants to do tshuva. Does he have to return it to the exact spot where he stole from without notifying the owner? As soon as he steals, his shmira is ended, because he's no longer trustable, and therefore he has to actually return it. Because the fact that the shomer knows where it is not enough, because he's not a shomer anymore. He lost the trust of the owner. Just because he stole, as soon as he returns it, he comes back to his original position of being shomer, and the shomer represents the owner, and his knowledge or where the item is adequate. Says the Gemara, Lema, should we perhaps say, Minyan Paiter Tanaihi, if knowing the Minyan is enough to exempt the Ganif, is a Machloikas Tanon. The Tanya, Hagoizel as Chaveroi, if somebody stole from somebody else. Vivli Loi Becheshbin. And then he wants to pay back, but he doesn't want to give it to him straight out. He gives it to him together with other things that he owes. Tani Chada, one Brisa says Yotza, it's considered as if he properly returned it, but Tanya Idach Lo Yotza, that it's not considered that he returned it properly. Says the Gemara again, Savru the Kula Amma Islay Rabbi Yitzchak. Again, everybody assumes that we follow the opinion of Yitzchak the Omar, Adam Asu L'mashmash Kisa B'Kol Shah, that a person is aware of what was stolen. And my Laba Hakimilfki, what's the Machlaikas? The Manda Amma Sava Yotza Minyan Paita, that even in a case where the owner was aware of the geneva, just giving it back and he could count and know that he has the full amount of what he has is enough. Then in a situation where the owner was aware of the geneva, just counting and knowing that he has his full count won't be enough. Says Mar Amri, Israel like Rabbi Yitzchak, if we follow the opinion of Yitzchak, that a person is always aware of the money that was stolen from him, kulam lepligi, everybody will agree, the minyan paita, giving back, and him knowing, like Rav Chisda said, is enough. Here the machloikis is really a Rav Yitzchak Kamilfki. They're arguing over the principle that Rav Yitzchak established. Mar is like Rav Yitzchak. One holds that a person is always aware, an owner is always aware of the money that is missing from him. Or Mar lesser Rav Yitzchak, Don Manam says he's not necessarily aware. Vibay Seima. The Kulam is Rabbi Yitzchak. Everybody could agree with Rabbi Yitzchak's principle. V'loy kasha. Hard the money for Rama Lebekise. The first brisa that says that he fulfilled his obligation, that God fulfilled his obligation when he gave it back that way, is referring to a situation where he counted the money and put it into the victim's purse. And therefore, since the money is in his purse, the owner is likely to become aware of it. Hard the money for Ramalei B'yodei, we put the money into the owner's hand, and he may keep it in his hand until he gets home. And then when he gets home, he has like a box where he throws in all the coins, and he will never become aware that the money was returned. Another way of explaining, Idi V'idi, the money for Ramalei B'kisei, it's referring to a situation where it's put into the purse. However, Hard the Islei, Zuzechrin B'kisei, he has other money in the purse, so he doesn't know how much money was there from before and how much money was put in there now. He had no other money in his purse, so obviously now this money came from somewhere and it's considered properly returned. Says the Mishnah, one may not purchase from a shepherd wool, milk, or animals, because we have to be concerned that they're stolen items. Nor from watchmen, fruit or wood. One could buy from a woman, woman garments, Yehuda, and in Golo they could buy linen garments. Vagolim, calves could be bought in the Sharon, Vakulam, but in all situations, if somebody buys from such an individual, and the individual told the purchaser, Lahatman, conceal it, Usr, then you're not allowed to buy it, because we have to be concerned that it's stolen item. This could be bought anywhere. These are items are very cheap, and we don't suspect that anybody stole them. Tanabonim. Ain lachem and aroyim, loizim v'loigadoyim. Not mature, or not yet matured sheep, goats, v'loigizim, v'loiklosishotzima. Nor fleece, nor pieces of wool that are torn from the sheep. Avlechem and tefurim. Sewn garments may be bought from them. Neshe, those are certainly theirs. And even if they stole the wool, the garments became theirs with the shinui maisa. V'lochman cholav agrin of a midbar. In the midbar, one could buy milk or cheese. V'loy biyishiv, not in a settled area. In the settled area, we have to be concerned again that since they are supposed to return to the owners, we have to be concerned that they were stolen. We could buy 4 or 5 sheep, 4 or 5 pieces of wool, not 2 sheep or 2 gizen. Domestic sheep, non-domestic sheep, and leichemhen. Klal shadover, kol sharay meicher or bal bayis magish bar. If anything is stolen, the owner will know it's missing. That lechemen we could buy, because that he wouldn't take the chance to sell. A magishba, but if something that's being sold, the owner would not recognize that it was stolen, a lechemen. Amamar, lechemen avachamesh tzoin, avachamesh skizin. We could buy 4 or 5 sheep, 4 or 5 real. Hashish lema avazvinan, ask tomorrow, we could buy 4. So certainly chamisha, because what the Gemara means to say is, if we're buying this many, certainly the owner is aware of it. So if he's aware of 4, he's certainly aware of 5. And so the Gemara, what the Bryce means is, Am Rav Chizda, arba b'tay chamisha. If there are 5, you could buy 4, because that's 80% of the sheep, and that's something that the owner would certainly recognize if they were stolen and missing. And therefore, the shepherd wouldn't sell it unless he was allowed to sell it. 4 sheep in a small flock, 5 in a big flock. Because in a small flock, it's more noticeable than in a big flock. Ask the Gemara Hagufa Kasha. Amrit, the Braisa said, Arba Chamisha Tzoyin, Arba Chamisha Gizit. Arba Chamisha in, strictly 4 or 5, Arba Shlosh Loi, not 3. Amos Seif Avaloi Shtei Tzoyin, 2 you can't buy, because 2 won't be noticed. Hashloish is vini you can buy. And Sigmar Loi Kasha. Harbor Braisa, when you, the Braisa at the end, which says you could buy 3, refers to healthy sheep. Harbor Chishisa, where the Braisa says only 4 or 5, a weak one. Healthy sheep, the owner will notice quicker, and therefore you could buy even 3. Weak sheep, the owner isn't that sensitive to, and therefore only 4 or 5, that is the amount that the owner will notice are missing, and therefore only 4 or 5 may be purchased from the shepherd.